Okay, welcome to the Thursday, January 29th meeting of the Los Osos Community Services District. Open session. Can we have a roll call, please?
Okay. Director Sennett?
Here.
Director Sasania?
Here.
Director Kelly?
Here.
Vice President Ohilski?
Present.
President Sparks?
Here. Before we start the open session, just a couple of one announcement. Mr. Markison wanted to make a brief announcement for a community center benefit event at the end of February.
Richard Markison, thanks, Joe. The community center board knew I would be here tonight, so they asked me to announce the annual reverse drawing on fundraiser on February 28th, Saturday. From 6 to 10 p.m. right here in this building. Tickets are $100. That gets two people in for the dinner and the drawing. Every 10th ticket drawn in the reverse drawing gets $200. Every 5th ticket gets some type of raffle prize. If it goes all the way through to the end and there's only one person at the end, that person gets $5,000 if they haven't decided before that to split it up. The first ticket this year gets $250, first ticket drawn on the night, and then all of the tickets where nobody won anything are thrown in the hat at the end, and there's a drawing for $250 right at the end of the evening. Like I said, tickets are $100, it gets two people into the event. It's a major fundraiser for the community center each year. This year is the 25th anniversary, and the theme this year is Surf's Up. If you would like tickets, I have them tonight, but if not, you can get them here at the community center. You can get them at Johnson Starling's Real Estate, the Chamber of Commerce, or at Washington Mutual Bank. Thank you.
Richard, could you repeat the dates? I'm sorry, I didn't get those.
February 28th from 6 to 10 in this building. Thank you.
Thank you. And then before we start with the items on the agenda, John Seitz is out of town, so Mike Seitz is here as our interim general counsel tonight and have a report out of closed session from the previous closed session.
That's correct, Mr. President. This closed session report covers two closed sessions, first occurring on January 15th. At that time, there was discussion regarding pending litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9B. First case was LOCSD versus Golden State et al. At that time, the board received an update from legal counsel but took no reportable action. The second case, I'm just going to go by the acronym, which is PZLDF et al. Versus RWQCB. The board did take reportable action at that time and on a 5-0 vote instructed legal counsel to take the following actions. First, to substitute district legal counsel to represent the district as a designated party and plaintiff. And second, provide a district legal counsel with the district settlement position. That substitution attorney was filed on January 22, 2009. The board also considered personnel action pursuant to Government Code Section 54957. At that time, it was in regards to the interim general manager search. The board reviewed the applications and conducted an interview of Mr. Cooney on a 5-0 vote. The board instructed legal counsel to negotiate the contract with Mr. Cooney for tonight's agenda. In regards to tonight's meeting, the board did go into personnel or go into closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 94957. There were two personnel items. First was a interim district legal counsel performance review. The second was public employment
own tractor to do the work, but we still will need the trailer to move it over. So that item will be amended to just request the district to board to approve the use of the trailer to transport the equipment back and forth on the day they need that. And the volunteer operator, of course, will be Mr. Milanis.
Okay, with that, we'll take... Oh, I'm sorry, Director Sennett.
Mr. Schempf, I had a question regarding the district's involvement in this. Always brings an element of liability, and I wonder if the county is indemnifying us in that action of helping them.
Well, I don't know the answer to that. All I know is that what we have at risk is one trailer. So I'm not too concerned. The trailers are virtually indestructible, I'm not too concerned about
it. George is going to be supplying the labor for it.
But he's doing it as a volunteer on his own time, as a district employee.
Okay. So we're just limited to allowing the trailer to be
correct.
Part. Okay.
Those are good questions, which I will, or the next general manager may want to check out before they agree to these. Thank you.
Okay, in that case, we'll go ahead with public comment on the consent calendar agenda items.
George Taylor, Los Osos. I'd like to ask a question of the general manager in regards to Mr. Molinas volunteering to in this endeavor with the county. I have two parts to this. Is he going to be docked for time that he is not on the on the job? And there's one other part to it, and that is that I lost it, so I'll come back. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schimp.
Mr. Lanis is a salaried employee, and so he will be not. He won't be using district time to do this.
Okay, next speaker, please.
The second part of it was, is he going to, will he be required to sign a waiver so that if anything happens while he's on this job and he is hurt, that he will, that it will not be a part of the, it will not fall back on the district? Thank you.
Mr. Schimpf.
We can do that, but it's not required. If the board wishes it, we'll do that. But we have, I volunteer for things, and I don't sign any waivers. There's no liability to the district, but you could ask district council.
Okay, next speaker, please.
Are you sticking strictly to the number 2 on the consent calendar, or are you taking the consent calendar in total?
Both items on the consent calendar.
Will you announce who has been approved and appointed to the County Water Resources Advisory Committee today, tonight, or will you hold off until the person has accepted and is present to be presented to the community?
That's in the staff report, and the staff report gives the nominations. Just as an aside, there's a meeting next week, hence we would have normally done it the next meeting, but there's a RAC meeting next Wednesday. Next speaker, please.
Julie Tacker. I think Mrs. Taylor's point that you didn't announce is that people at home are not reading the staff report. So maybe as part of the general manager's comments when he introduces an item, that be made verbally. I support the nomination, which is Maria Kelly and Marshall Ohilski as the alternate. Thinking about this item today made me sort of reflect on what the RAC does and most recently what they have been doing. And, you know, they took the Santa Margarita Ranch project and scrutinized every gallon in that project, and I have yet to hear any report back from the RAC on our project. And I would have to say that our project has far more impacts. To rent a trailer would cost something like that, $250. And that's something the district, if we're giving services away, then we need to do it equitably. And that's for all our nonprofits and all of our parks. I am curious how this came about, because the district does have policies, and I think the general manager would have shot it down early on if policy would have been adhered to. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Richard Margetson, just two quick ones. This work, isn't it being done on a Saturday, on a weekend? Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, so I'm a little worried about the liability for George, but as a volunteer, that's... the appointments to the RAC, what is... I thought the district was also represented by George, or does George go on a voluntary basis?
Mr. Marks, can you finish your comments?
That's my comment. I just wanted an answer to that.
Typically, and right now, Mr. Schimpf is the representative with Director Sennett was the alternate. And in the future, again, I think the standard would be to have the general manager as a representative with a board member as the alternate. But right now, we're going to an interim general manager agreement. So for the time being, we're going to have a director as the principal and another director as the alternate, and it may come back and change in the future.
So when George went, he just went on his own in the path?
Before I got here, George was designated as the rep.
Okay.
And any time he's gone in the meantime, since I've been
here, it's been on his own?
Right.
I'm just curious why our utility manager wouldn't be either the lead or at least the alternate, but...
Any additional public comment? Okay, seeing none, are there any other clarifications from the board, Director Sennett?
Well, I would recommend that in approving this, we strike out, we state that it's for the loan of the trailer and not the volunteer staff operator, because that's not a district involvement. And, you know, I'm not that worried about the liability as much as I am. If we have a choice, this isn't our project, and if the county will assume liability, it protects George as a volunteer. And in fact, you know, the district, this not being a project for the district, and it's on his time, I think the county should offer to, you know, even though he's an employee, a volunteer, I think they should provide something for him, because he's using his equipment and his own person, driving the equipment with his own vehicle, I assume. So there is some exposure for him, and the county should, I would hope, you know, hold him harmless, defend him if necessary, and, you know, not to mention workers' comp or something like that.
Yeah, this is consent. So, Mr. Seitz, I think we need to be brief, and then I'll need some guidance from you before we approve a motion. Director Kelly.
The fact that it's on a Saturday, how does that affect the district's role other than a trailer? Because this entire project is being done by a multitude of volunteers. George is not the only community member volunteering on this project. There's a series of, there's a county staff member that's going to be, my understanding, helping, but the entire project is being done by volunteers.
I will check with the county and get an answer either one way or the other and let the board know by email.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay, Mr. Seitz, I think we might need some guidance here because consent would be, if we approve it as, there'd be no modifications, but there's some, I think, desire for some slight modifications. So,
I thought you were going to be asking me about the indemnity issues and those kinds of things. But no, the other side of the coin, right, if it's a consent item and you're going to make modifications to it, it needs to be pulled and those modifications made and then voted upon separately.
Okay.
She's been present quite a bit at the RAC meetings and is very effective as a public member there, but I'll second this motion.
Okay, motion and a second on consent item number one.
Ready for vote? Okay. Director Kelly?
Yes.
Vice President Ohilski?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
President Sparks?
Yes. Okay, since we've pulled agenda item two, Mr. Seitz, will I need to take additional public comment since we've gone a little bit out of order? Would you recommend that I allow some?
You've had public comment on the closed agenda item. If you're going to consider some amendment to it, I don't believe that you need additional public comment on that item.
Okay, thank you. Director Sennett.
Well, I think the only remaining concern has been addressed, and so I would make a motion that we approve the request to use the trailer and with striking the offer for the volunteer staff operator language.
I'll second that.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Director Kelly?
Yes.
Vice President Ohilski?
Yes.
President Sparks?
Yes. Okay, agenda item A is to consider the approval of the district comments on the draft EIR for the Los Osos Wastewater Project. Mr. Schimpf, can you provide a brief staff report? And we have Mr. Miller, our district engineer, here tonight that may want to briefly go through this.
Thank you, President Sparks. I'll keep my comments very brief because the ad hoc committee is actually the one who, as recently as today, made additional edits, and those are available on the table. And I'll defer at this point to the chair of that committee, Vice President Ohilski.
Thank you, John. What I'd like to do is just clarify the process that we went through. The ad hoc committee met. There was five of us that met. Director Sinium, myself, Rob Miller, John Schimpf, and John Seitz. We went over the information that was available that Rob had prepared previously, as well as we went through all of the conditions of approval for the previous wastewater project, as well as going through all the comments that were submitted on the environmental review for the previous project, as well as going through all the comments that were submitted at our joint meeting with the county where the county explained the EIR process. We took all that information and put it together in a rough draft, which is what Rob did, which is the letter that's in the agenda package. Subsequent to that, then, we worked on refining the language in that letter, primarily for a couple of reasons. One was to give a little background information to the question so we could get a better answer from the county, so it wasn't a question that appeared out of context. And then secondly, we just tried to refine the question a little bit more so it would force the county to come up with an answer that was substantive rather than just a yes or no answer. So what I think we really should be considering tonight is the latest draft rather than the original draft, because it obviously was a continual process. And what we've done for the convenience of the audience is we provided the original draft, a red line of the proposed draft, as well as a clean version of the proposed draft so people could read it readily. There's not a lot of changes in the context of it, or pardon me, in the concepts of it, but there is some contextual changes. And with that, I think I'd like to turn it over to Rob, who can just briefly address some of the substantive issues.
Thank you, Vice President Ohilski. I'm going to go ahead and flash it up on the screen here just so we are all looking on the same page. I'll zoom in that for you. Again, there's copies available on the side table, but essentially the letter goes through three primary issues. The first is issues of water management. These are comments that you saw at a previous board meeting, so I won't go back through them in detail. But essentially the comment goes to the availability of tertiary treatment and the alternatives for collecting funds from the undeveloped or underdeveloped properties within the prohibition zone. Those are the comments that relate primarily to water management. The revised draft, I think, does a better job of compartmentalizing the comments with some headings, and I like the way it flows better than the original draft. So under the second heading, there's an identification of construction impact issues. Because the district does operate a water utility in half of the community, as well as providing emergency services to the community and drainage services and solid waste services, temporary construction traffic impacts become substantive issues. And so there's some requests for clarification. Really, a lot of these comments echo back to the last approved coastal development permit conditions and seeing those same measures implemented. There's a comment about drainage impacts. And then some operational concerns. As part of the legislation that was passed to give the county authority over the wastewater project, the district may ultimately end up as being the operator of that project after a period of at least 3 years. So there are some inquiries with respect to system operation, and those include bell and spigot joints, the pipe joints within the collection system, an inquiry as to whether those joints will be sealed using standard bell and spigot or whether there would be fusion-welded high-density polyethylene. That's a process where you actually heat-weld the pipe together. And, of course, the reason for that, and in the revised draft it gives a little more context, is to address the issues of infiltration and exfiltration. So that's an inquiry. And then there's also a question regarding the electrical assumptions and calculations under item 8 between the two collection system alternatives, STEP and gravity. And the inquiry is asking the county if further life cycle or energy cost analysis may be done, because the fine screening analysis and the Ripley wastewater project update report don't agree in all matters with respect to electrical costs. So there's an inquiry on that issue. And then finally, some inquiry on maintenance activities associated with the wastewater facilities as item 9. And that's a summary of our comments. Those would be issued tomorrow, which is the last day for EIR comments. So we'd expect, once we have public comment tonight and board action, to make those edits and get that in on time tomorrow. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions before we go to public comment from the board? Okay, with that, we'll take public comment. If you could come to the podium and begin public comment.
Frank Asilio, Los Osos. First, I'd like, just for the record, to say that I found the EIR, the part I was reviewing with the water issues and seawater intrusion, that it wasn't very clear document the way it was written. It tended to be redundant and contradictory. Even for searching for keywords when you use Adobe Reader, to search seawater intrusion, seawater is written either one word or two words. So it's combined leach fields, one word or two words. So you had to do redundant researches for the words. So You know, I'm disappointed in this way because we are paying for this document. I'd like to correct Rob that we actually, the LLCSD actually provides probably a third of the water for the community, not half. In section two, clarifying the scope of water conservation, in the EIR it states that they don't expect to reach the conservation number of 160 acre feet to the year of 2020. So in mine, I'm asking how long, each year, how much did they expect to conserve before they reach the year 2020? Also, in a conservation issue, would it be mitigated by the 350 wells plus that are out there, plus additional wells can be drilled in the basin, too? So how will that affect any conservation measures that are proposed for the basin or for the prohibition zone? Talk about Broadison, that they talk about ramping it up eventually to 400 acre feet a year, or 480 acre feet a year, I think. And they talk about that that can go over 800 acre feet a year with using monitoring wells as well as dewatering well if necessary. So it's really unclear in how much water they're going to ramp up there eventually because they give themselves a lot of outs. The other issue from drum dumping, I was trying to figure out, are they going to place a dumping station?
Property taxes. In a second condition, if they don't pass it, then we're asking the county to clarify whether there would be connection fees or what methods the county would employ. The way the district had handled this years ago is by contemplating connection fees that fully pay up what they would have paid by the time they actually go to connect. So hopefully those are helpful responses.
Can you provide any response to the Broderson question? Although I think our question is somewhat aligned with that.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're asking basically if the county's only planning a partial ramp up of Broderson, whether seawater intrusion mitigation would be handled in another method if they don't achieve their full capacity. I know the county's not planning to implement some of the harvest wells downstream that were previously contemplated, and those would be required if anything beyond 480 acre feet per year is applied at Broderson. So at this point, that's the county's intent, is to do the 400,000 gallon per day average at max, but not to start it there.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Julie Tacker. I have to say, where are the hard questions? The hardest question is, what if we're stuck with Tanini? You know, the county project only addresses a fraction of the current seawater intrusion, and leaving the balance of the problem on the back of the purveyors. And when we're talking about purveyors and having to pick up the ball and run with it, you will be asked to do things that are outside the scope of the things you do now. The district, I don't know, today I don't believe is well suited, but maybe in the future it will be, to negotiate ag contracts, to negotiate with the schools to take treated wastewater or harvest water or something. The task two, the creek compartment task that's going on right now, would give the county some direction in where treated wastewater should go. And I would have liked to have seen this board say, you know, hold on, let's get the analysis back. Let's get the results of that test back before we have an EIR on the street and before we are then forced to supplement an EIR or amend an EIR and the cost associated with doing just rewriting documents. The consequences of having the district and Golden State for the majority of the groundwater management is that there will be days where this friendly adjudication may not be so friendly. Golden State will be pulling in one direction, the district can pull in another. The district's a political body. If your voters put you in office because you have a no-growth platform, perhaps you will be unwilling to manage the basin to the best of its ability that achieves build out. So it becomes political. The CSD is not a land use body, but because of the stronghold that it will have on resources, you will be able to restrict land use. So I don't know that I want a future board having that ability when the basin's at risk and good water management is what's important. Throwing the water away at Tanini could be forever. And I believe the district, as the citizens of this community, should be standing up and saying this is the wrong project for Los Osos.
Thank you. Mr. Miller, I guess, can you comment on not just Tonini, but our position via any treatment site versus another one?
Yeah, I think so. There's definitely some good discussion items there on those points. My perspective is Cleith is currently conducting the very studies that Julie was referencing, and they're under a lot of pressure to do that quickly. Not too quickly, but we believe that in March, early April, we'll be coming back long before any Coastal Commission action or final approval of a coastal development permit with some of those answers. And then with respect to who ultimately has those water management responsibilities, there's some hope, at least I personally have a technical hope, that the upper basin, when it's fully utilized, can go a long way towards meeting all the requirements of our current users, those people who have been investing in our infrastructure the last number of years, that the projects already on the books and contemplated will meet their needs. And then for those more difficult projects that are more funding intensive, that the vacant properties who have not been investing in that infrastructure to the same level will then under the second 218 be called upon to pay their fair share of those more costly, which would be the case since the district has their Palisades well. And to the extent that we turn down that well and that water doesn't go on those play fields out at the middle school, then it deserves a 0.55. But if they were simply to shut down existing deep aquifer wells on the east side, such as in the ag properties, that's when they drop down to the 0.1, 0.15. So if you're an ag property that has a good water resource available to your property, and we go out and develop purveyor wells, we bring some of that water back, and we shut down or shut back these west side wells, then those would be eligible for the full 0.55. And I know we're getting technical here, but if they just shut them down, though, then they're down at the 0.1 unless we exchange that water back.
Thank you. It's
Keith Weimer, Los Osos Sustainability Group. And I gave the board a packet of information, and I hope everybody received it and had a chance to look at it. What the sustainability group did was to take it upon themselves to design a basin plan that would balance the basin. And it's following the foundational actions of the California Water Plan. And the first foundational action is to emphasize water use efficiency, and then water quality, and then environmental stewardship. So we took that seriously, and we maximized water use efficiency, and then looked at how that benefited other things, and we worked in appropriate technologies and reuse and everything else. I would have hoped that you might have mentioned that as one of the alternatives they should look at. What we face, and the case I attempted to make in there, is that Broderson represents an approach. I don't think Rob actually, indicated that appropriately, or, possibly it's more of a philosophical issue. Broderson represents a demand-side approach, and a supply-side approach, I'm sorry. It's the idea of let's figure out a way to continue pumping about the same as we're pumping now by shifting the pumping to the upper aquifer. I make the case that we have to have demand side, and that's the only way we'll get to balanced basin. So I urge you to stress demand side, and instead of asking for ways that we may make sure that we mitigate for the impacts of the project, that you actually define that you say we need more conservation. There's 25%, and I proved that in the plan there. at least 25% and up to 33% available. So I would like to see the language stronger instead of asking for ways that they're going to do it to actually explain what you would like to see looked at. There should be alternatives for Brodersen, and I provided all the alternatives for Brodersen there. Brodersen has a number of problems. One of the big things that, that I wish you would look at is that all of these studies are uncertain. So everything has to be done with a level of, an extra level or margin of safety. All of these basin plan studies are at least 10% in terms of the standard deviation. They need to have a range of safety there so that we can be sure and mitigate for this. Also, you know, I'd like to have seen, and I hope you would still ask for, an alternatives analysis with the other collection systems. Remember that vacuum was actually passed from the rough screening to the fine screening, and it was recommended by the NWRI as well. So,
thank you, Mr. Weimer. And thank you for submitting the analysis. Mr. Miller, if you could comment. I mean, I did read that in length, and, you know, my perception, you can comment, Mr. Miller, is that the supply-side actions, they don't preclude any of these demand-side actions or integrated actions. But if you could elaborate further.
I agree. They don't preclude that. In working through Keith's document, I think the purveyors are going to take interest in that. I think as we get that further definition and as the county looks to spend those budgeted conservation dollars, I think there'll be further community input on that issue. We haven't heard the last of that. We want to get the conversation going from a very general level to a much more specific, so that's yet to come. The purveyors are also very interested in the ultimate outcome of the conservation plan. So you're going to see that come back here to your board.
Yeah. Can you also comment on the margin of safety? Because I think it's important. My personal comment is in terms of we've seen, you know, the designing and engineers will typically over-design for conservatism depending on load flows. And in the case of Brodersen, the testing that was done and then the factors applied to it and plus the modeling to get to where the counties at this point doesn't want to go.
Whole monitoring network throughout the community, and that will remain active. Plus, there'll be new monitoring wells drilled to directly detect the mound. That would be downgrading of Brodersen. That's what the plan is, anyway.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Don Bearden, Los Osos. Tertiary treatment. Who's going to pay for the additional tertiary treatment? I don't think that the upgrade should be paid for by the Los Osos Prohibition Zone homeowners. If you're going to have an additional tertiary treatment, I think you need a separate 218 boat to pay for it. Bell and spigot pipes versus rigid fuse welded pipes. If you're going to compare bell and spigot pipes with fusion welded pipes, you need to also compare the failure rates of these two kinds of joints. Fusion welded pipes joints are more rigid and therefore more likely to break during earth movement, whereas slip joints give and will actually hold up better under earthquake conditions. I think to the Tonini site. I think the Tonini site is the best site in that it has plenty of room for the plant, spray fields, and sludge treatment. There is also enough room to site wind generators in the future to reduce operating costs. Additionally, there are existing water wells at the Tonini Ranch that we can be pumping from to make up for the stuff that we're spraying on the ranch instead. And so that we could be sending good water back, not just it's already coming straight out of a well rather than just treated wastewater. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comment, Mr. Miller?
I think those are all salient comments, and the county is, and the purveyors are certainly looking at those Tonini water supplies as being a potential augmentation of water supply. Thank you, John. Just a quick note about the 218 with regard to tertiary treatment. I think a number of folks agree that the prohibition zone shouldn't be the only ones paying for that upgrade, and that a future 218 may be an appropriate way to address that.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Rachel Rosenthal, Los Sosos. I have just thank you for the review and your input and the time it took to go over it. I wanted to confirm that the district, as an interested party, did not receive an updated greenhouse gas appendix that was pulled from the draft EIR. We got the November 19th and December 19th memo from Mark Hutchinson that said there were serious math calculations and errors. There are other problems with the greenhouse gas study, and I just wanted to make sure that I didn't miss an announcement that it was corrected and released, but as of data submittal, and could you verify that for us? Secondly, I wanted to ask you to review this section 2.4. I have some copies for you. 2.4.4, solids processing and disposal in the executive summary. In the study itself and other places, it says that the sludge, well, first of all, this section begins with the topic of sludge processing disposal by talking about the algae waste from the ponds. And the work products of all the study groups, the TAC and everyone, shows that I wanted you to ask the county to clarify that the difference between the treatment alternatives is that oxidation ditch and BioLac produce 4,000 pounds per day of sludge and that the ponds do not. The algae issues are more for experts. They keep referring to it. The type of pond we are looking at does not produce the algae problems that conventional facultative ponds from the early 90s did. That's not an issue I'm asking you to address. It's just a side comment about that. But I would like you, in this they say that they're going to haul the sludge and put it in a landfill. So I'd like you also, since that was attack number one main concern, that it not create sludge, and also for the old project, not creating sludge was a very strong community value. I want to ask you to ask the county to clarify this sludge paragraph that I'll give you, and you'll see the confusion in that. And then just finally, the significance of including water conservation as a disposal method in the wastewater treatment project. Clarification that does not preempt the LOCSD from embarking on your own water. I don't know if that's come up in other discussions. I may have missed it. But so that
for the presentation tonight, first comment on water conservation. I think the suggestion in the DEIR that the 10% goals by 2020 falls well short of what they should be. California AB 49 states a 20% reduction. DEIR should at least meet that. I think there needs to be a conservation survey to show some baseline data as to what measures are being taken right now in the community, what percentage of homes have low-flow toilets, high-efficiency washers, et cetera. Once we've got that information, then we can do a proper analysis and a forecast on whether or not these conservation measures are going to be effective towards saltwater intrusion. And I applaud your efforts and your comments on indicating that. Secondly, on the spray field options, I really feel strongly that the Tonini spray fields, the county is suggesting that we cut this grass and haul it to the landfill. Putting it politely, I think we have much better options than that. At a bare minimum, that grass should be cut and composted on site. We can easily grow. Other counties are growing with secondary treatment fodder for cattle feed. I'm really disappointed in that option. I've spoken to a number of wastewater professionals in the state. There are several examples of cities and counties and districts using their water in ag use programs or recycled water. I think our community is missing a very valuable opportunity here for mitigating saltwater intrusion. The potential negative impact on the basin, I think, is incalculable, and it's not a risk I think we can take. Farmers have been up to the Monterey site, which is really a flagship. There's people from all over the world going up to that. It's literally in our back door. The county says it's going to take 20 years to implement it. I've spoken to a number of experts. They've all said 1.5 to 2 years you get farmers on board. I've spoken to a grower in the valley. He's willing to take it. Give me a price, and is it under pressure? That's the question that a lot of farmers are asking. There's a waiting list in Monterey County right now for farmers that want this high-quality water, beneficial nutrients in it, and it's reliable, drought-resistant supply. Huge opportunity that we're missing. I just cannot emphasize that enough. And then finally, briefly, as far as road construction goes, we have a newly established low-impact development center here on the Central Coast. As we go into the collection installation in the community, there are large grants available to help offset those costs. It's a very successful program in Seattle. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Miller?
Just a brief response. I also agree that the future ag exchange possibilities in the valley are deserve a more ambitious pursuit. And I think that, and I know that there's a mixed opinion out there as to whether the purveyors should be doing that or the county should be doing that. Somebody has to do it. And so I think at a minimum, the purveyors will pursue it. I think you'll see that come out in the first bit of information that Cleith is preparing right now and looking at the safe yield of that creek compartment. And we've visited the Monterey Regional Facility, and we certainly are looking at ag exchange elsewhere in this county for the vineyard community and other places. And we have high hopes for it. And we believe that there just needs to be a catalyst, and if the district with Golden State need to be that catalyst, then so be it. We will be.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
It's a shame, but the Alon Perlman Los Osos, and a member of the bum rushing of the DEIR review. It's a shame that the EIR has a lot of problems within it. It's probably not a good bang for the buck. Looking at the technology, I don't really see that Broadison could not be used, but definitely not at the levels, at high levels. There's a lot of risk in Broadison, and I believe Mr. Miller knows that it has to be a watchful program. One of the problems with Broadison is, if I'm not mistaken, when it rains or when the winds are high, the plan is to switch from Tanini spray fields to Broadison. And I think that's actually, if I'm not mistaken, that is, I've looked at so many pieces of the DIR, I couldn't even remember what my name was. There are serious problems with the Tanini stray fields, not including the fact that, to start with, it's Class 2 ag land. That type of water, secondary treated water, should really not be applied anywhere. But if it were to be applied, there's plenty of poor soils, and it's going to cause a lot of problems. Some Moro banded snails. There's a lot of restrictions. The restrictions are really being enforced currently in locations where Moro banded snails are located. And I saw my first one about 4 weeks ago. This is real stuff. It affects staging areas. It affects a lot of details within the DEIR. So focus on the water and understand Broadison well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Perlman. Next speaker, please.
Richard Margetson, just two things. One, page 213 of the EIR. There's a comment that is in this document at least a half a dozen times that water conservation will reduce water consumption and corresponding wastewater generation by 0.1 million gallons a day or 180 or 160 acre feet a year. my question for Rob is, which is it? Which is the goal that they're trying to reach? Because 0.1 million gallons a day is not 160 acre feet. It's actually 112. My other comments are going to be turned in tomorrow, so I won't go over those. But the question arose from Frank earlier, and this I actually would like an answer to if Rob has an answer. The $127 million that has been assessed to the property owners at this point, according to this document, will not build this project. What is going to be the cost to the vacant landowners above and beyond the assessment amount in order to get this project built and for them to build on their properties? And what happens in the off circumstance that the vacant landowners vote down that assessment because we're still in level of severity 3, will be for years, there's no HCP, and my third one I'll leave alone, and that money doesn't come in. How does the county expect or anticipate the rest of the district to make up that difference?
Thank you. And Mr. Miller?
All good questions. With respect to the water conservation goals, the number is 160 acre feet, and Richard's right, that doesn't exactly equate to 0.1. A lot of wastewater people always round to the nearest 0.1 MGD. But that's the 160 reflects about 10 gallons per capita per day, and it's been around since 2000 when the district prepared their water conservation plan with Madaus Water Management. With respect to the very complicated question of the second 218, that's one of the reasons for some of the language you saw in the comments. I think the answer is nobody has put a number on the full scope of the cost of that second 218. The sewer component of that number will be very similar to what was seen for the developed properties, you know, $25,000 a lot. But if there are water management projects that those properties will be asked to fund, those dollars have not been identified yet. In the process that the ISJ is going through, there's three tasks. Tasks 1 and 2 are already on their way. They'll be followed up by a third task that defines the cost of that second 218 on a per-property basis for water. As far as the habitat issues, that's not something I'm familiar with, but I can speak to the water that number is coming, but no one's put a number on it yet.
Thank you. And next speaker, please.
Gwen Taylor. I've read as much as my eyes will hold out on this project, meaning the draft EIR. And one of the questions that continues to raise its ugly head, and that being that there is going to be a project that is going to require a lot of deep trenching. What is going to happen to the trenches when they have to be dewatered? Where is that water going to go, and who is going to observe and test it for its disposal? I've not seen it in any of the reports. If it is then there, I apologize. But that is a question. What is going to happen to the water when it...
Specifics are already in their file and can be attained if needed.
Thank you. And within the timer, too. Do you have any comments, Mr. Ohilski? Any additional public comment? Okay, with that, I'm going to bring out the board. But before we do that, I'm going to take a 5-minute break.
Yeah, I know you got something against me. I know. You were supposed to sit there.
See, I can do this.
Okay, we're going to resume the meeting. All right, well, we have it back before our board. Any comments and questions from the board? Vice President Ohilski.
Yes, I'd like to ask just that Rob explain a little bit about the process that the other water purveyors are going through, because I know there are comments on the same issues coming from Golden State. So if you could just give us an update on that before we get into our discussion, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. President. We know that Golden State and S&T Mutual Water have both reviewed the EIR. One of the things that you saw in a previous staff report on the same topic is the district was planning to meet with those purveyors to review, to get a preview of their comments, to compare notes. Many of their comments, as anticipated, were somewhat similar. They're very interested in the long-term water cycle, nutrient and salt cycle within the basin. And I think you'll also see some comments about tertiary treatment, about the upper aquifer, and about overall yield of the whole system. So we've compared notes. I think it'll be instructive as those comments are published to have the community members who are interested review them, because they do perhaps take a little bit of a different approach, but they, I think, will reveal some of the same substantive issues.
I'd like to just make a couple of comments as being the chair of the ad hoc committee. I think the comments that we got tonight were really, really productive and helpful. And I think that Rob answered the questions as they were presented pretty well and covered them in depth. And I think our letter, although obviously it's not the perfect letter, I think it does raise the issues that both came up tonight and the issues that are important to the district and our responsibility as a water purveyor and as a CSD providing other services to the community. So I'm comfortable with the letter the way it's written, but I would like to propose just a couple contextual changes just to address some of the items that came up. So if it's okay if I can discuss those now, or if you want to wait till later, how you want to do that.
It's up to you whether you want to discuss them in terms of
let me lay them out there, and maybe then after we get done we can...
Could we have a couple other questions for Rob first and maybe save proposed amendments to the very end?
Okay.
So that we get everything out and maybe other thoughts will be triggered.
Yeah, that was my only question, was just the update on where the other water purveyors were. And when the other comments get done, I'd like to have the opportunity to propose some language changes then.
I had a couple things I wanted to bounce off you, Rob. One of them may put you really on the spot, but... nowhere in this document do I find any authority other than their consultants for requiring pump out of step tanks every 5 years. I mean, it's in that document probably 25, 30 times that the tanks will be pumped every 5 years. It's in the biosolids calculations, the manpower calculations, the cost calculations. The water board's proposed on-site regulations talk about inspection every 5 years, pumping as needed. Am I missing something? Is there? I went to Appendix B, I guess, is where all of Kennedy Jinks, I think that's who it was, all their hard stuff is. I don't see a legal citation for a mandatory pump every 5 years. Did I miss something?
I agree with you. From my perspective, an inspection is the appropriate approach to that issue. So we're on the same page there.
Well, the proposed on-site regulations, the second recommendation, I think, in that section talks about when to pump, and it talks about scum levels and da-da-da, and, you know, very technical about what you're looking for when you decide to pump. There's no time frame. It's physically what's going on in the tank. So it just seems to me that that is such an assumption that if
pressure, there's enough hydraulic head on Tanini to be able to site a day tank in order to provide, without having a pump always running, a source of pressure to the agricultural uses in the valley. Also, the I know this is controversial from a land use planning standpoint, but I'll just address the technical side of it. A public agency, including the district, if you ultimately ended up with the property, has the ability to carve out a public lot for that portion that you would perpetually need. Again, there's controversy on that, but you've done it before, and you could do it again and sell off the remainder if it's unneeded. You could also lease the remainder. There's some good soils out there for active growth and get some revenue from it, but ultimately you could sell off the part that you don't need.
How does the hydraulic head there compare with the Jacamazzi property? It seems to be at an even higher elevation. Does that give us a constant pressure to deliver the water to the farmers as well? I know it doesn't do much for spray field availability.
I think either property would be suitable for that purpose.
Yeah. Thank you for offering an opinion.
Thank you.
I just had a couple comments just in response to some of the comments, and thank you to the ad hoc committee and staff for putting this together, because I did talk to Rob and I'm comfortable with this draft. I have this perception difference and difference than a lot of the speakers in regards to the conservation issue. And on one hand, I agree with one of the speaker's comments as far as being limited by what this particular document may limit our ability to do in the future. And I would like to see the district have that flexibility to really develop and implement a long-term conservation plan that falls under our water management plan. But I don't want it to be tied to this project in the idea that it could delay it. Delay the wastewater project, and I would like to be able to really take the time to develop a really comprehensive water management plan and develop that framework for incentive programs and do that survey and get that work done and actually exceed the conservation expectations as they're defined in this document. I want that to be our minimum, not our goal. So even though I appreciate the comments from the public, I really see this as a starting point versus an ending point, and I hope that the district can continue to hang on to that. And that's really all the comments I have as regards to that. And I feel like the comments are that we will be submitting are sufficient at this point in time, as really a lot of the other issues are operational that don't really fall under this DER comment set. I guess I have one more question for you, Rob, in regards to process and how this process meets with the county process. Do you feel, as staff, that this is an acceptable set of questions? Have we gone far enough or too far?
Mr. President, I think that the questions reflects an appropriate level of inquiry given the district's role. I know that either individuals on the board and certainly individuals in the audience will have a much broader range of questions from biology and everything else, but I've always felt that focusing on those issues that are within the district's powers and purview is the appropriate approach.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Mr. Miller, I have a question or a comment. I think I touched upon it at our last meeting, but you weren't here. We now have data with 18 months of our new rate structure, which empirically shows a 10% reduction. And so my question is the vintage of the data used by the county, I believe, predated that. Is that correct?
We've asked for that clarification. We know they did pull some newer data from the district. They now have, at least the ISJ has, complete data from all the purveyors, but some of the analysis in the fine screening report did have current district data and some of their numbers, but we've asked for clarification of that as one of the comments also.
And so it may not, I don't think it would be necessarily a comment to the wastewater project, although we could ask that question, what data did they use, but aside from that, I think we should send them our latest. I'm sure they haven't got our latest data, and it is now up to 18 months, and it does provide that more empirical data. Whether or not it would change the assumptions from the design engineers, I don't know. If the reduction's large enough that they would want to change their assumptions, I know the engineers would tend to be conservative and might be hesitant with that amount of data.
And one other quick comment on that. We know that Cleith does have now the very latest district data as well as the latest Golden State data. So that's all been released and made available to all the ISJ participants, county included. So, yeah. County's broad authority over its road rights-of-way gives them a lot more options than what other special districts might have. For instance, if our line is in their way, they could literally say, move your line so we can put our sewer in. And we pay the cost, which is what happened on a storm drain out here recently. But they're not going there. They're going to avoid our utilities, but they'll expect us to bear some of the cost of managing it. I know in the review of the contract documents, the steps that the contractor has to take in notifying the utility when they're going to be working in sensitive crossings, in potholing before they cross, you know, basic stuff like this that not all contractors do a good job at. I think those are the things we'll really want to key in on. You know, the county, I'm sure, will have extensive inspection staff, but we can expect a disruptive 2 years of activity.
I wonder if we could explore ways to have the county fund a construction or a project monitor for the district to handle relocations. I know during the last project, a water line was interrupted and caused a major crisis. And we can anticipate that things like that would happen, and they would otherwise become a tremendous burden on the district or have potential to. And if part of the project could include resources for the district to handle these, I mean, it's being done for us, and the last thing we want is for the project that we are funding to become problematic for our operations. So can we approach the county to include that as a project cost?
I think the ISJ group, well, that topic came up in the latest discussions, Golden State especially, since they're, of course, concerned with their assets and those costs they can't recover, which is why they make you put in ductile iron pipe in their system. But they're very interested in utility management issues along the lines of what you're saying, and those will be further discussions as we get closer to real construction. So those are good comments.
Vice President Hilsky.
Thank you. What I'd like to do is walk through the document with some proposed changes, and then just I think there's some items that I'd still like to have us discuss to see if we're comfortable with the language as it's proposed. I think that one of the items that came up under number 6B, I think this is an easy change. I would propose under 6B that we say construction may affect a large volume of natural stormwater drainage and groundwater. Well, we could say, pardon me, natural stormwater drainage flows and groundwater. That addresses that issue of dewatering the trenches. And I think that was a very, very good point. And then I would propose in the next sentence, the treatment of stormwater and groundwater may be required. So I think that incorporates that concern in there, and then that addresses that one fully. What I then secondly would propose is that we add another section, and be it A, B, or C, I don't really care. But I think the point that was just raised by Director Sennett is very, very valid, that we need to have them look at the impacts on our utilities and our facilities. So I think we could add, you know, another, we could add A and move the present A down to B, C, and just to basically take that first sentence under traffic impacts, copy it and put it under another heading which talks about impacts on district facilities, and then have it read, because of potential impacts on the district's abilities to provide essential services during construction impacts on water lines and other district facilities need to be addressed in the DEIR, if that makes sense. No, I'm just.
Can you repeat that?
I think Rob's got it up on the screen, don't you, Rob?
He's got it.
And I think that addresses Director Sennett's concern directly. I think that's a very valid point. In the ad hoc committee, we did discuss that, but somewhere along the line it got dropped, and I'm not sure where that happened, and it was probably my fault as the chair, so I'll take responsibility. But I think we do need to add that back. And then thirdly, I would take number 7, because if we'd be able to have conservation analysis done on what the current situation is. Now, if we're comfortable that that language is strong enough, I'm fine with it. Rob, I think, feels that it's strong enough, but I think that that's something that I would still like the board to discuss, whether they think that's strong enough or whether we need to get more specific in regard to our conservation question. So those are my comments, and with that, I would move my changes. Or move the letter, authorization of the letter with my changes, or with the changes we just discussed. Thank you.
Mr. Schimpf.
I point out to Vice President Ohilski that perhaps just bolding it like we have there might be exactly all we need.
Yeah. Mr. Miller and I did discuss either bolding it or underlining it, and it may be underlining it or bolding it is enough to get the point across, but I think it's really, really a critical issue, because what that baseline water consumption figure is has a major bearing on all the other analysis in DIR as far as water supply and water basin management goes. So, all right, I'll amend my motion to as the letter as currently added by Mr. Miller. So I'd move that letter be approved for authorization for Mr. Schimpf to send. Thank you.
That was a motion?
Yeah.
I'll second that.
Discussion? Okay, I'm going to bring up another point. And that is, again, on operational impacts on item 7. This concern, infiltration, I don't know if I'm using the proper term. What about exfiltration? Oh, maybe. I'm sorry. It's focused on the first part. My question here is still to you, Mr. Miller, is this focused on a certain type of pipe joints and bell and spigot type. It didn't bring up lift stations comparisons. It didn't bring up, you know, vacuum systems. Do you feel this is, it didn't bring up step systems and the different ways that we could get exfiltration? Do you think this is comprehensive enough concern represented?
Those other systems already utilize the types of pipe joints that we're referring to here, so we're focused in on the one type that was of concern, the gravity system, the bell and spigot, while those other technologies already use those fusion welded approaches. So I think this is comprehensive enough.
Actually, in the project description for Project 1, they talk about PVC pipe for the step stag system, which is one of my own personal comments. Did you do that just to try and keep the INI numbers fairly close between gravity and step? Because it's pretty well accepted that if we get a step proposal, it's going to include HDPE pipe. So why didn't they even compare? And that's why I want whatever collection system they're going to talk about to analyze both pipe types. And should we be including inflow in there too, as well as infiltration? I know there's a difference, and I forget. One is manhole-related, it seems like, and rainfall, and the other's from groundwater.
Right.
But maybe we should just include inflow in there as well. I want that collection system sealed as tight as possible.
Mr. President, I think the word collection system up there then is generic enough to address Chuck's concern. Inflow is normally limited to not pipe joint leakage, but to those direct connections to stormwater sources, manhole picks, yard drains.
Any other discussion questions from directors? Okay, we have a motion and a second. Ms. Vega, please.
Director Sennett.
Yes.
Director Sasania.
Yes.
Director Kelly.
Yes.
Vice President Ohilski.
Yes.
President Sparks.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Now we're going to move on to agenda item B. This is the consider the approval of an interim general manager employment contract. And I think before we start, we're going to take another short little break. And I'm going to turn it over to Director Kelly.
Thank you, President Sparks. Thank you for those of you that are here. This is our opportunity. We want to take just a minute to thank Mr. Schempf for his service to the district. We have cake and coffee, so we're going to take a quick break so we can all eat cake and get more coffee. We all chipped in and got you a Diet Dr. Pepper because we know you need more Diet Dr. Pepper. So we thought that was really an appropriate send-off. And then we have a card for you, and we just wanted to take a few minutes in our time left together to say thank you.
Reconvened. Thank you again, Director Kelly, for that cake, and much appreciated. And thank you, Mr. Schempf. And I also want to reiterate to the ad hoc committee, you're done. Thank you, Vice President Ohilski and Director Sennett. That was very productive, and really appreciate that. And Director Sasena, you two shouldn't sit together. Steve lent some moral support. Okay, agenda item B. Consider approval of interim general manager employment contract. And before we start, I think I'll give a little, before I turn over to staff, Mr. Schempf is moving back to the right coast to take another position. And so when he announced that to us last month, I formed an ad hoc committee with myself and Director Kelly. And we went through a process we had applicants that were contacted, and we were fortunate that we had a number in the region that were interested to perform as interim general manager. So the ad hoc committee went through the resumes and conducted interviews with applicants, made recommendation to the board. The board, as Mr. Seitz reported, conducted an interview at the previous meeting and made the recommendation to enter into this contract. And that gentleman is Mitch Cooney, who's also here tonight, who was the CSD manager for the Oceano, served there for 10 years. And with that, I'll give it over to staff before we take any public comment. The contract is attached in the staff report.
Thank you, Mr. President, and members of the board and public. Yes, following the January 15th meeting, we were instructed to negotiate a contract along with the ad hoc committee with Mr. Cooney. We have reached a contract that is subject to approval tonight. The terms are what I would call generally vanilla-type terms. There's nothing exciting about this other than a couple points that I wish to raise. Generally, for termination clauses, those can be quite lengthy. This one is 3 weeks. And that's for termination without cause. Second, under salary and working hours, as you will note, that the total salary per month is $1,100. Under this contract, Mr. Cooney is required to work a minimum of 24 hours per week and a minimum of 4 hours per day per 4 days a week. So obviously there will be additional time beyond that included in board meetings and other extra hours, but he'll be working 24 hours a week for that period of time. Because Mr. Cooney is coming in, subject to fairly short notice. He had vacation times, which are placed in the contract. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Seitz, any board questions before we go to public comment? Okay, let's begin public comment. Please go to the podium, and if you would, can you form a line so we can keep speakers ready?
Rachel Rosenthal, could you just introduce Mr. Cooney a little bit more? You know, it was so long before I learned anything about Mr. Shemp, just his background a little bit more and how he came here and where he's from and where he lives and what his interests are and things like that. Just a little.
Thank you for your comment. I actually had, you know, I didn't want to jump to any conclusions on the approval of the contract, although. And so I was, and he's here tonight, I was planning on after that to have him come and speak. So, next speaker, please.
Richard Margetson, I guess my question would be, how do we end up with new general manager or interim general manager that has 10 years experience in the county at what seems to work out to at about $12 an hour? That's actually a serious question.
Tim? But if Mr. Cooney does well, and when he leaves, it's just a hope. Of course, these are short contracts, but when he leaves, if he does well, he'll probably be able to have some parting gifts, as Mr. Shemp is getting. I'm calling this Escape from Pirate Island. That's just a gift bag. And it is, this is a little Fresh Friends. It's a cute little air freshener that to make you smile. This one's called Honey. And that's what Mr. Shemp gets. Air fresheners are somehow related to being here. Other than that, a bear. This one's naked, bear naked. And, of course, for bear naked bear, you need to have an LOCSD with the official logo right in front to dress your bear. So you've got good times ahead, interesting times ahead, as they say. So I'll leave these with departing Mr. Shemp. General Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Perlman. Additional public comment? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to bring it back to the board. Any motions?
I move that we approve the interim general manager employment contract for Mitch Cooney.
I'll second that.
Motion and a second. And we have a roll call, please.
Director Sennett.
Yes.
Director Sasania.
Yes.
Director Kelly.
Yes.
Vice President Ohilski.
Yes.
President Sparks.
Yes. And with that, I'd like to, it's my pleasure to introduce Mr. Cooney, who will be the interim general manager. And if you would, Mr. Cooney, would you like to say a few words?
Sit? No. I want to thank you for your vote of confidence. I hope during the time that I'm here, I can help this board achieve the goals that they want to achieve. I hope that my sense of humor adds a lot of laughs and good times to these proceedings and to the people I get to meet in Los Osos. And when my time is through here, I hope we can say we accomplished a lot of very good things. Any tears we shed were just tears of joy, and that we had a lot of fun. So thank you.
Miss, could you give a little bit of your background?
And your hobbies? I wanted to know your hobbies.
Oh, my hobbies? Okay. I am a been a resident of San Luis Obispo County for a long time. I graduated from Cal Poly and basically never left. I have a bachelor's in accounting and a master's in finance. Last 10 years, I worked for the Oceana Community Service District. Had a very good time there. It was a good community to work with. We accomplished a lot of things. We built a fire station. We went from a volunteer to a full-time fire department. We didn't have any increases in any of our service fees for over 7 years. I think the district ran fairly well. I hope we can accomplish a lot of that here also. My hobbies are I'm a private pilot. I have a lot of volunteer things I do. I work with several organizations in the South County. I live in Pismo Beach, and that's basically it. I'm kind of a quiet guy. I don't say a lot. You won't hear me say a lot. I'll just hopefully do a lot.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Okay. And Mr. Cooney will be on the job at 8 o'clock in the morning sharp. Or actually 24 hours per week. You could start at midnight tonight and work a full week tomorrow. Okay, next item. Agenda item C is consider staff recommendations for tentative mid-year budget adjustments. And so, Mr. Schimpf.
Thank you, President Sparks. The mid-year budget is colored by however, we have been successful in the insurance company litigation, and AAIC insurance company has agreed to reimburse the district to the tune of $249,821.10. This fiscal year, so far in this fiscal year, we've borrowed $127,000 from various reserves to pay those unbudgeted legal expenses. So I would recommend that the first thing we do with that gift, if you will, of I shouldn't call it a gift, but the reimbursement of $250,000 is to replace the money that we took from our various reserves. And I'm not asking for decisions on this tonight because this will play into a more comprehensive presentation on the mid-year budget to follow. But I did want to put these out here so that the board and the public can be thinking about it. That leaves us a net change of $122,500 roughly that came from previous years, but those budgets are closed and finished. So this $122,000 plus is really found money, and the board, of course, has complete freedom to do with it as they wish. Staff recommends that it be placed in the various reserves for our two operating departments, the water department and the fire department. Both departments, I think, could justify on paper plans, capital improvement plans for the water department. I mean, yes, we've just finished up $5 million, but there's plenty left to do. The fire department has well documented an extensive equipment replacement plan, and both of those could use an influx of these funds. What the ratio is between those two, we had an interesting discussion last night at the Emergency Services Committee, and I believe Chief Vanaris is here to perhaps give you some insight as to how that committee would like to see this surplus divided. The real point I wanted to make to the board was that what I feel is that if either department or both departments get that influx of funds, that they should not be using that for reserves. I believe that both departments, if their ordinary reserves are, like the water department, are restored, or if the fire department's reserves are restored, that they will then be able to make it through the end of the fiscal year, both those departments, without any further budget changes. As far as admin or Fund 100, we've had pretty good success in that we're, as you just heard, we're getting a interim general manager for peanuts, and you make some considerable savings on my salary for the remainder of the fiscal year. And we've also had another employee. We had an employee leave earlier in the year, so that we saved a considerable amount of money due to staff reductions. I'd also like to point out, and I should ask Mike Seitz to close his ears, we've taken another look today at our legal spending on the general counsel for the district, interim general counsel, and the bankruptcy, the two items that we did fund. We funded it at the rate of $260,000, roughly, and to date we've only spent $60,000. If we keep going at that rate, there'll be an extra $100,000 in that line. So I think the board is to be congratulated for the wisdom of establishing those reserves at the beginning of the year and carefully monitoring and muttering and complaining about every time we had to complain, every time we had to reduce those to pay our legal bills. But it's had the appropriate effect, I think, of bringing everybody's attention to the need to control those funds. And it looks like we're making major progress in that direction. So we'll provide to the board, of course, line-by-line discussions of where each line is, of course, for the mid-year budget. But I'm excited to present to you that you are going to be in really good shape this fiscal year. Now, there are some challenges next year because this property tax is going to be a permanent reduction for several years, I would think. And the fire department is already going to be struggling with how, I mean, this year we can make it up with this money from the insurance company. What do you do next year? And so that's going to be a concern, and we may have to figure out how to reduce the admin portion of that taxes so that the fire department gets a greater number and is able to continue their excellent service to the community. Do you have any questions of me? And I'd like to give
$27,290 this year. I think that those two should have been interchanged in paragraphs 3 and 4. It should say we have borrowed $122,531 this year. And then paragraph 4, it should say the remaining $127,290 comes from the previous closed budgets. They're very close amounts, but when you look on page 3, the prior year funding it states it's $127,000. So I think it just got interchanged, and there's not a big difference, but just for clarification. If you look at page 3.
Yeah, I had the same comment. It just looked like the numbers
got flipped. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
My mistake.
Fortunately, they're so close.
Well, but the plus is that you got an extra $5,000 to do something.
Maybe drainage gets a little.
We just found $5,000. Okay. Any other comments before taking public comment? Okay, we'll take public comment now. Oh, I'm sorry, Director Sennett. Oh, I'm sorry, Director Sennett, and then we'll go to Mr. Vinares.
Okay, are we going to make a decision on apportionment of this amount? We're not going to. Okay.
I would not recommend it. I just wanted to put this out there for everybody on the board and in the public to be mulling over before we get into the hard work that Director Kelly mentioned of, you know, just how do we, because I do agree that what decisions you make now oughtn't to be just for the next 4 or 5 months. It ought to be lay the groundwork for moving into the next budget cycle. So it's really, this is not asking for any real action from the board at this time.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that's in line with your report. So is there any public comment on this? Oh, I'm sorry. I keep forgetting Mr. Vinares.
Mr. President, members of the board, appreciate the opportunity to come up here. I had a couple of things that wanted to press on or pass on to the board and to you. The Emergency Services Committee met on January 20th, and then again on January 28th last night. They reviewed the budget when it was whole. On the 20th, they reviewed a budget we thought was going to look like with $111,000 removed. And then again last night, it was further reduced to $96,000. It's important to comment that this money is a reduction in the property taxes received by the district, and to keep it into that light and not try and push that off into other different avenues. And so that's the approach that they took. Chief Jenkins did come in on the 20th, and at that ESC meeting passed on that he's comfortable with the level of service they're providing now. He's comfortable with what's occurring now, but he does have some concerns with the long-term funding of the fire department up on the Hill. To that realm, we're looking at long-term sources of finance, long-term sources for engine replacement, for capital improvements to the building, to the pad that we've been talking about for a couple years now, the replacement of the pad, the replacement of the driveway. It was patched a couple years ago, and those patches are already falling apart. So just basic infrastructure of the department itself, as well as the engines. There's an engine that needs to be replaced. Doesn't need to be replaced, but we recommend that it be replaced in 2012, and we do that so that the district will not have to purchase two fire engines within 2 years of each other further out into the teens. Those engines are they're 2 years apart. One's a 98 and one's a 2000, and they're typically good for 15 to 17 years, which is why we're projecting and recommending that you replace one. So there's another number of things that Chief Jenkins wanted us to pass on and to understand. When the Emergency Services Committee met last night, they reviewed the $96,000 budget reduction. There was no talk of reducing the level of service. There was some talk of different avenues for getting resources, very briefly trying to adjust a special fire tax or even a new special fire tax. That's not something that either Chief Jenkins or I would recommend at this point. We feel comfortable with the special fire tax and the property tax revenues that are coming in now and the level of service we're able to provide within those financial means. The Emergency Services Committee looked at what we could do with the current budget this year as well as next year in light of the money from AAI something or another, the insurance money. The strategic plan that this board received last year, the sinking fund, which has been slightly updated, we haven't met all of our needs with that, and we've tried to rearrange some of the numbers a little bit, so there's a new strategic plan there that you have not approved yet, but just for your look. And there are some of the budgets and the executive sheet, executive summary that the Emergency Services Committee received as well. So it's probably not appropriate to make a sales pitch for a specific number for Fund 301, and the Emergency Services Committee did not come with hard numbers, but they conceptually, you know, could probably justify a good chunk of that 127 now. Can we answer any questions for you?
Director Kelly.
Mr. Vinners, do you have that strategic plan in a PDF or a Word document that you could email?
I could absolutely do that to you.
I would appreciate that.
You would like
to review that
strategic plan and the sinking fund?
Yeah, I just need to be reminded. Thank you. Or you
okay.
can send Marshall wants it sent to all of us.
To all of you, okay? We can do that.
Mr. Schimpf.
Phil's very gracious tonight. He didn't say one of the main things that came up at the emergency services is that was pointed out that the water department, through the rate study and through, could fund its own reserves. The fire department doesn't have that ability. And so they're making, and but I, so as Phil said, yes, they were biased, and the first thing they said was we want it all. But then they came to a better position was, let's figure out what our needs are and whatever that adds up to. If it's 50,000, if it's 100,000, or if it happens to be 127,000, so be it. But at least it'd be based on something more than we want at all. And that's the approach they've taken. And I'm sure these numbers will show that they're not looking for all of it, but probably as much as they can get. And it could be supported on the fact that they are not in control of their own rate-raising ability.
Thank you, Mr. Schimpf. Thank you, Chief Vanares. Okay, so at this point, we'll take public comment.
Okay, Rachel Rosenthal, Los Osos. This is about the, I have a comment that relates to all these capital planning decisions and replenishment, and it relates also to the rate study that's ongoing. The draft rate study was presented last week at the Water Committee, and the district, part of the water rate study was the consultant that was hired explaining to the district what reserves are, what we use them for, how they're generated, and someone commented that it was nice to discuss the policy and see it. And I remember thinking to myself, yes, that's what small governments are supposed to do and, in fact, are required to do before you pass a budget and especially before you improve a rate increase. And I've spent, I would say, weeks and weeks and weeks auditing those reserves back through history. And I just want to refresh your memory that there was a fiscal year 2006-07 audit, which I've read through at least seven times, summarizing the material weaknesses and internal control deficiencies of this district that were cited. Then there was a fiscal year 07-08, which was finalized and never audited. You're required to audit and file a report within 3 months of the end of the fiscal year. When you start doing your financial planning on a financial audit that had questionable practices mentioned, and then you don't immediately follow up with an audited financial budget, you have nothing to base your fiscal policy on. In addition, your property tax, special assets, and government revenues must be studied and looked at, tested against lawful allocation of tax monies. Problems were cited in your audit with intra-fund transfers, establishment of reserves to historic levels, inventory. Capital spending is commingled in your operating budgets. You have no verifiable list of annual depreciation. It has never been included. Your rate study analyst calls you out and says specifically, the district has no reserve policies. The district has no reserves.
There are little legal expenses this year. Let me remind you that the moment the county takes the wastewater project, the bankruptcy's on, and litigation expenses will be tremendous. And not only from your bankruptcy attorneys, but also from your general legal counsel, because they work together. And so next year will be difficult again, and not just for property taxes, but whatever you set aside this year that you didn't spend in your budget, you will be spending with bankruptcy coming up. So sorry to remind you of the bad news, but that's the fact. So, once again, fire. Anything they want. The management there does a very fine job with every dollar and every dime for this community.
Thank you. The next speaker, please.
Gwen Taylor, Los Osos. I, too, am very prejudiced towards the fire department because I see and know precisely what
Chief Veneris is talking about regarding vehicles that are going to need to be replaced, vehicles that are very costly, and they need, in one instance, one vehicle needs to be replaced now. This CSD is responsible for the building in which the fire department is located. That building needs upgrading, has been for a very long time. You can only put off repairs for so long when they begin to compound themselves. A little leak in the roof all of a sudden becomes a big leak in the roof, and you must do much greater repair work. Remember that this is where your firemen, who are responsible for every structure in this community, has to reside 24/7, and they need to have the best equipment, the best housing that is financially possible. And if you're going to put that money into one fund, what is going to, if it's a reserve fund, if it's a fund for whatever you designate it to be under one fund, what is going to preclude robbing that fund as has been robbed in the past? And that's precisely what has happened. Remember that. The fire department needs that money now. The monies that are going to be coming in, as we have been told by Mr. Edge, the CDO for the county, we are, in some instances, supposedly not going to get the money back from the state for 3 years. Where are you going to find the money to replace the pieces of equipment that are going to be needed when you don't have any money coming in? It's not just this CSD. It's every CSD throughout the communities. We are in a world of financial hurt, but you have to keep up what is necessary. You take care of your health. Take care of your fire department.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Lon Perlman, Prohibition Zone, Los Osos. Also a member as an alternate on the Emergency Services Committee. And for the last 4 years, I've seen Phil guard well and produce well in the fire department and resist taking money or actually, and the money did go out of the the fund for the truck is... the emergency services, the replacement fund. In any case, when I saw the budget, it was the previous ESAC committee meeting, it hit me how much it must have meant to him to have taken the money out of that fund. There are other items that he's gone through carefully and gone, and he had to do it in a hurry at that time. He's responsible for quite a few people. Those people can leave. When they get well-trained, they do leave, as has happened. There's more to it than just... It's an entire department. They have morale. And, sometimes $300 taken out of the coffee fund actually does mean you may, down the road, lose a firefighter. But other than that, I would just like to echo what a couple of speakers ahead of me have just said. Trust in this guy, and
he'll do the prudent thing and can come up with the appropriate list. I am concerned that we may not have the money in the reserve when we have to replace a $500,000 to $600,000 fire truck down the road. We may not. And coming out of bankruptcy or still being in bankruptcy protection, I'm concerned if we can get anybody to loan us that money in order for us to make installment payments on it. If it was up to me, I think the fire department deserves everything they can get. Remember, folks, these are gentlemen who, while we're running out of a burning building, they're running into it. That puts them, for me, in a whole different category as far as what we owe them. there's a lot of discussion of what happened with past reserves, and you know, I have a little problem with the found money comment also, because this wouldn't even be before you at this point if there had been no taxpayer watch lawsuit against the directors. We wouldn't even be having this discussion. This money would have been part of the district finances. I'm anxious to see Bill's list, and I think there's going to be a broader discussion when it comes before you on the budget hearings. And I just want to leave you with one last thing. I'm hoping at some point down the road these constant drains on the fire department where training's being reduced, vehicles aren't being purchased, I hope it's not a drain on morale at the fire department, because I have to tell you that I had a fireman come up to me this week and just ask me what my opinion was as far as how things are going and what the future looks like. And I told him, like we've told him in the past, this community as a whole is behind that department. And I think at any time down the road, we can fill this room if we need to make you understand that. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, please. Before the next speaker, Mr. Schimpf, do you have a comment on item A, on the percentages?
Yes. It doesn't show on our budget sheets, but the water department does get 10% of the taxes. And what has happened is those don't get to the water department. They're part of the water department's share of the admin costs. So they're not readily apparent. And when I had to do some digging to verify that, because I didn't believe it either, Richard, as I said at our last meeting. But since then, I've been educated.
So you're talking about that allocation that shows up from the county distribution that has,
correct,
that this board has gone back and forth with how to handle that. So, yeah. Thank you, Mr. Schimpf. Mr. Payne, good to see you.
Good evening. I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Angeles. I would like to, at this time, thank the fire department gentleman who responded to my wife's 911 calls twice and were very nice and efficient. And this is part of why we have such a good fire department, is they do a real good job taking care of us old people that need help, so I say. At this time, I'd also like to thank everybody that signed the cards that I got and those who mailed them, and let them know I'm doing fine, getting stronger every day. The fire department, now I remember back when Pickens was chief and the money that got spent foolishly, and we have a much more efficient fire department, and they should definitely have a reserve for a new fire truck when they need one. I don't know how we're going to do all of that, but we'll just hope we can. Maybe we can borrow it somewhere. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Evening, President Sparks, board. Rick Heath, a property owner. It is really difficult to come forward and remain calm. I'm sorry, my comments are regarding Taxpayers Watch. I'm really tired of the vilification that has been permitted by this board over the years. I'm not a member of that association or whatever it is, but there are those of us who want to see the disastrous actions of the previous board held up to judicial review. I think that's the purpose of the lawsuit brought by those people. That kind of judicial review, I think, is really called for, having watched this district be managed into the tank, into a disaster, into a bankruptcy. And I'm so sorry. I know that you're passionate gentlemen, and the previous directors were also, but your decisions were, well.
Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. Okay, I guess I'll start off. Again, thank you, Mr. Schimpf, for the report, and it is positive news. We about a month and a half ago, we were just looking at the water revenue shortage and the property tax shortfall. So I think this has to be part of the mid-year budget adjustment, and I concur with Director Kelly's comments that as part of this, we'd like to look at making some structural adjustments. In the last two water and finance advisory committee meetings, we've been looking at some administrative fund expenses and talking about how those expenses are distributed from property tax, drainage, and water utilities. And the three key items in our budget are the admin fund, the fire fund, and the water fund. And, you know, this process will adjudicate, where the reserves go and the spending goes. I've been toying with the idea when Mr. Cooney comes aboard of forming an ad hoc committee to look at that, particularly look at that admin fund structurally and look at the allocation so that we can improve upon that and determine the proper allocation. I think we're still, the comment on the bankruptcy attorney fees next year is true. We do expect there will be increases from both the bankruptcy attorney and the general counsel. So I'm not going to do that tonight, appoint an ad hoc committee, but I'm let Lester Cooney review this over the next week, and I'll probably make a decision next week on that. Aside from that, when we come back with the mid-year budget, I guess I'd like to see some additional considerations for the admin fund or any fund in terms of what we can do on the expense side and what would be the impact so that the board, when we do the final approval of the mid-year budget, can have some additional choices to it. And that'll take any other comments from directors. Vice President Olhilski.
Just a question for staff and then a comment. I hate to see us spending money or even allocating money that we don't have. So what's the anticipation for when this reimbursement money will actually be received by the district?
We've been told momentarily, within the next 2 weeks.
I guess, secondly, just to address the question of found money, I think that was obviously a poor choice of words. I think really what you meant to say was unanticipated or unexpected money, not found money. So I would just recommend in the next staff report that you watch those words a little more closely. But I think, in seriousness, if we're looking at getting the money back in a relatively short term, we do need to decide what we're going to do with it. I just hadn't understood what the time frame for the reimbursement would be. Thank you.
Yeah, and it could be possible, I believe, that we'll make an adjustment to reserves when the money comes in, even if the mid-year budget isn't finalized at that point, simply because it'll be just as when we took the money out of reserves. When it comes in, we'll make the adjustment at that point. So my guidance at this point is, I guess, and you're going to be working with Mr. Cooney over the next week and meeting with AMPI to further the mid-year budget process. And I'd like to see we pretty much know a better understanding of the revenue side for the remainder of the fiscal year, and I'd like to see some other considerations on the expense side. And, in fact, in one of the Water and Finance Operations Committee meeting, you talked to that, Mr. Schimpf. But I think we need to give Mr. Cooney a chance to sit down with you and staff and formulate how he wants to present that to the board. And my thought is, and also maybe appointing an ad hoc committee to be a part of that, but I'll just determine that at next week's meeting. So I don't know if we need a motion on that. That's the guidance I'd like to see. Yeah. So that, I think that concludes tonight's, it's going to conclude tonight's meeting. And And before we adjourn, we'll take director comments.
Excuse me. I would just like to make a comment to the public watching and the public that's here. We do have the applications due for the committees tomorrow.
The park area that are being addressed is a fire pit and a little seating bench area over beside the Red Barn for community use. It's going to be just a really nice gathering place. So my thanks to all the community members that continue to work on these projects, and anybody else that wants to volunteer, you're always welcome to. Thanks.
Director Cicina.
Is there a specific work date set for that yet?
You know, I know that there is, and it is a weekend date, and I don't recall. I can email it out. I'm sorry I didn't bring the information with me, but it's coming up pretty quick, within the next 2 weeks, I believe. So I don't have it plugged into my phone, but I'll let you know. So we can announce it next week for sure.
I also would just like to say thanks for the blood, sweat, and tears, Mr. Schempf. It probably was maybe even more than you expected. And we promised you that it would be all you'd want, and maybe more. And good luck in 8-degree weather. I just can't relate. Maybe it's because I've been spoiled. You've seen what California can be like in the winter. But anyway, good luck to you.
Director Sennett.
I'd also like to say in closing, I appreciate all you've done for this district and for the board personally. I think you carried the district very well and represented us and protected the people's interests. Thank you.
In closing, again, thank you, Mr. Schimpf. Thank you, Mr. Seitz, for subbing tonight. And I think 8-degree weather is how they keep those lobster cold and back there. I also want to thank Director Kelly for being part of the ad hoc committee meeting on the interim general manager search. I appreciate that. And we're closing down two ad hoc committees. We'll close down a third one next week on the bylaws, and again encourage people to apply. We do have a lot of applicants. We're short in a couple areas, so please get them in. And with that,
I'd also like to welcome Mitch Cooney as our new interim general manager. And thank you.
With that, we're adjourned. Thank you. Next meeting next Thursday at 6:00.